Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. I'm Peter Apathy with Raven News. KCAW's Catherine Rose continues her assignment in Japan this week, where she's looking into the industry and culture of herring. Today, Rose visits Takashima Fishing Village in the city of Otaru and learns about one family-run gill netting operation.
This is KCAW reporter Catherine Rose, and right now I am standing in a puddle of water and fish scales in a fisherman's workshop in Takashima Fishing Village. That's in the city of Otaru, which is on Hokkaido, the northernmost island of Japan. It's around 11 a.m., and after an early morning of gill netting for herring, the Narita family are weighing their fish and packing them on ice. Hokkaido is historically known for its herring fisheries, but after World War II, the species dramatically declined in Japan due to overfishing and environmental changes, which is actually what increased demand for Alaska herring in the 1960s and 70s. But now these fishermen say the fish have been returning and they're able to make a part of their living off of herring again.
Yeah, we used to have a sea urchin, but nowadays the herring is increasing thanks to the Japanese technology.
He's talking about a herring hatchery program that was introduced in 1996 by the Japanese government in northern Hokkaido. And that program continues today, except now it's managed by the fishermen. And these Pacific herring they're catching today in Otaru are really big. On average, they weigh around 350 to 400 grams, but some even weigh into the 500s. After packing up all these fish this afternoon, they'll deliver their catch to the local wholesale market for the auction early tomorrow morning.
That was KCAW's Catherine Rose reporting from the Takashima Fishing Village in Otaru in the Hokkaido region of Japan. Rose will be sharing more stories from her travels over the next week. Her trip is a project of KCAW and the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. You can see photos on our website, kcaw.org. Sitka has a new Superior Court judge. In a press release yesterday, Governor Mike Dunleavy announced that Judge Amanda Browning has been appointed to the Sitka Superior Court. Browning has lived in Alaska for 12 years and has practiced law for more than 18, according to the press release. She graduated from Roger Williams University Ralph R. Pepito School of Law in 2005 and is currently a district court judge in Palmer. Browning has previously served in Sitka as assistant district attorney and as magistrate judge. Public school educators in Alaska are still awaiting the governor's response to a bill that would increase per pupil funding in the state by $680 next year. In February, Senate Bill 140 passed both houses of the Alaska legislature by large margins, but the governor has signaled a reluctance to increase education funding. Last year, the legislature passed a one-time boost to education funding of $680, but the governor vetoed half of it. The current Senate Bill 140 would be a permanent increase to the so-called base student allocation, which advocates say is necessary to catch up with inflation over the last 7 years. Still, $680 is only half as much as school districts like Sitka will need to balance the books. Interim Superintendent Steve Bradshaw told the Sitka School Board last week that even if the governor doesn't veto the funding, Sitka will have to cut 7 to 9 positions. If the governor vetoes half of it, as he did last year, Sitka will have to shed 11 or 12 positions, which would have a direct impact on the district's PTR or pupil-teacher ratio. Bradshaw painted a picture of what that would look like.
Think about what 11 or 12 positions in this school district means. It means basically one teacher from every grade level. And And folks, you've worked hard to get the PTRs down where they're at. You've worked hard to get the things in the district that we have in the district. And I hate to see those type of things starting to go away. As public educators, we get accused every once in a while of trying to be everything to everyone. And we do. We care about kids, and so we try to make as many opportunities available for kids as we possibly can. It seems like we're always crying that we don't have enough money, but every one of you in here know what the food prices are in town, how much they've gone up. In the 9 years that I've been gone from Sitka, I was blown away when I walked into the grocery store.
Bradshaw came out of retirement in Montana to work under a one-year contract as superintendent in Sitka. The state has not increased the base student allocation since 2016. Bradshaw said it was taking a toll on the district.
When I came back this year, I can honestly tell you I have never seen a staff as stressed out as this staff was. And I gotta believe that it was because of the COVID situation, the pandemic, but also just day in and day out not having enough resources to help kids when that's their biggest passion.
Bradshaw urged the board and everyone in attendance to contact the governor's office and urge him to support Senate Bill 140. The final opportunity for the public to comment on next year's school budget will be at Harrigan Centennial Hall at the next meeting, when the board is scheduled to formally adopt the budget and present it to the Sitka Assembly. The Juneau School District's current school closure plan would have it vacate three city-owned buildings: the district office on Glacier Avenue, the Marie Drake Building, and Floyd Dryden Middle School. Now the city is eyeing those buildings as possible new homes for City Hall. KTOO's Katie Anastas reports.
Fewer than half of Juneau's city employees work at City Hall. The rest work in rented office space in four other buildings. One of those is the Marine View Building, which has frequent plumbing issues. Others work next door to City Hall, in a building Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is renovating. City Manager Katie Kester told Assembly members Monday night that it's been disruptive to employees.
Although SHI has done a great job really trying to mitigate some of that construction interruption, it really is not a great work environment. Deputy Manager Barr and I had a meeting today with employees, and everything from dust to noises to toxic fumes. Again, it's an active construction zone.
In October, Juneau voters rejected a bond proposal for a new City Hall building for the second year in a row. One alternative is moving to the Michael J. Burns Building, which houses the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation. A lease there would cost about $1.5 million a year. Not all of the city's workstations could fit into that building, but the rest could fit into the school district office nearby. The school buildings would likely fit everyone into a space the city already owns. Moving to the Marie Drake Building would keep City Hall downtown. But it's an aging facility with little parking, especially if all high school students end up going to Juneau Douglas High School Yadaad Kahle next year. Floyd Dryden Middle School needs an upgraded HVAC system and part of its roof repaired. It's also more expensive to operate because of snow removal in the larger parking lot. But it has a good amount of parking and room to develop more, and it has amenities like a gym.
Those obviously would still have community use, which would be cool, right? City Hall having, like, pick up basketball while we're maybe in a meeting like this.
Floyd Dryden's location in the Mendenhall Valley would also put it where most of Juneau's residents and city employees live. But Kester said that would put them further away from downtown businesses, the legislature, and state offices. Kester told the Assembly that renovations at either school could cost anywhere from $13 million to $31 million, depending on the extent of the work.
$13.1 million gets you carpet, paint, cubicles, and if you want to do bathrooms, if you want to do walls, if you want to do some of these other things, and you start, you know, getting more expensive. If any of these options, I would say, let's see what we can get for $16.8 million, because that's what we have right now for this purpose.
Kester said there are a lot of other possibilities for the school buildings if they don't become City Hall. Marie Drake could be demolished and the space used for parking. Floyd Dryden could be used as a childcare center or a new home for Juneau Animal Rescue. Mayor Beth Weldon liked those ideas.
I think Floyd Dryden is a better facility to let community agencies use. I've said from the very beginning, one side kiddos and the other side kitties.
Assembly members asked Kester to bring back additional information, including parking and renovation costs. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
And that's all for Raven News for this hour. You can listen to or read our stories again on our website at kcaw.org. Well, thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a good morning. Let's take a quick look at the weather forecast for our listening region. Currently 39 degrees with light rain falling outside in the forecast for today. Rain with highs near 43, southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, and chance of rain 100%.